shit, it's episode 68 of Brashcast with me, Liam Pritchard, and as always, Ross Alexander.
Hello there. I thought something had gone wrong there for a second when you opened with holy shit, but okay.
I often open with holy shit, just any way to get a swear word in nice and early.
Right,
just let people know exactly what the fuck's going on. See, yeah,
set the bar.
In the opening 30 seconds, just fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck.
Okay,
just make sure we get that adult rating. Is it an adult rating? Is that what they call it on iTunes? Because that sounds like porn would be involved.
It's listed as explicit, yes.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
We'll
have a little rated E next to us on iTunes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, just to be sure, fuck, cunt, motherfuck.
Wow.
So that is done now. We've got the swear out the way.
Well,
if anyone's a new listener... Yeah, dropping a C-bomb.
Wow.
Okay. I dropped a C-bomb on Facebook, and my brother sent me a message. He said he blamed it on me turning Scottish. He said, you've lived up there too long, you're obviously turning Scottish.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what Scottish people do, supposedly. They drop just C-bombs in public.
Yeah.
I think this is different. I'm dropping a C-bomb on a podcast, which, you know, it was 68 episodes in. Let's just say I don't think there's been a single episode without an abundance of cursing.
Oh, no. We definitely earned that explicit rating.
But, damn straight we do.
To be honest, my staunchly feminist wife drops C-bombs way more frequently than I do.
See, that's the thing in my house now, because Beth and my wife, who would usually never swear in public, and she doesn't swear in public because she's a goddamn sweetheart, but in the house living with me now, she'll drop a casual C-bomb all over the place.
Wow.
Because she knows she lives with me. But it's as I said, my issue with swearing, like, I'm a big fan of swearing, but it's like anything else, it's tone. Like, you can drop a C-bomb.
Context,
but if you
is everything, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. If you say, like, I would never call someone, you know, I don't even want to say it now because I feel like we've brought attention to it,
yeah.
But I wouldn't drop the C-bomb on anyone in anger. Anyone. I just don't think I'd ever do it. But I'll drop a C-bomb. Like, I'll call my wife a cunt. But it's in jest. And she knows it's in jest. But God forbid, I would never do it, like, angrily. I would never do it.
And you just happen to like the taste of phlegm in your spaghetti bolognese.
Phlegm in my spaghetti? I mean, that's if I'm getting off lightly. My wife is a doctor. I have no doubt she could kill me and cover up cover it up without problems. And no one's going to blame my wife. She's too adorable.
The podcast might even improve slightly. You never know.
Yeah, it might do. But anyway, we've got the swearing out. Well, the obvious swearing. There'll
yeah.
be more swearing along
yeah.
the way.
Well, it's the first episode of 2017.
It is, indeed.
Apologies to everyone who was naively expecting us to get one out a bit earlier.
Yeah, that was never happening.
It just wasn't really possible with me being away from my PC.
And being a lazy bastard.
It was nice to be away.
What, from the podcast or from your PC?
No, I love
I'm almost taking that personally.
I love recording the podcast. No, I spent most of the holiday... Well, me and my wife were both a little bit sick, so... the plan was to spend most of the time on the couch
Is
watching movies.
Is that normal
anyway.
Sick or black sick?
Oh, no. Nothing absolutely horrendous.
No, sorry. That was a terrible joke. When I said black sick, I meant more in terms of, like, the street sick, as in, oh, that was sick. I apologise to everyone for that. I'm going to bring that
right.
up.
Oh, right, okay. Like,
see.
Like fat with a pH.
Yeah. Right. That's the problem. You can explain fat by saying, oh, it's fat with a pH.
Yeah.
You don't have the equivalent with sick, do you? I feel like sick as in, wow, that was sick, or
the
that was dope.
The only way you can add context to that is by using that kind of Cockney in it. Afterwards,
oh, that's sick, innit?
Yeah.
See, I went black as in that kind of African American vibe, but yeah, I see what you mean. It's more of a, like a Cardiffian. Like, I can imagine people in Cardiff saying it. That's sick, innit, bruv?
Is Cardiffian like the term? I've never heard that before.
I assume so. That's what I've been throwing around anyway.
Right. Okay.
I don't think it really matters, but yeah, that's
I
what
I'll
go with.
I will acquiesce to your expertise. I'm sure you've worn a baseball cap and hung around in a Tesco car park of an evening. So,
well, of course, I'm from Cardiff, Jesus Christ. And it's not like I'm not like my wife from the posh part in King Coyd. I'm from Roth, bruv. So I'm dropping bruvs, I'm dropping six when it's not actually sick. I'm doing all that, and I'm wearing, as you say, caps and car parks.
Yeah.
But sorry, I've gone off the point somewhat there.
No, I think we're on topic.
Okay, well, I'm fine. We should probably talk about what we're actually going to talk about. I mean, this week we're going to cover Rogue One, because I know it's a bit late, but we've got to have a talk about Rogue One.
Yes.
The games we've been playing over Christmas, or more specifically, the kind of underrated games, or at least I think they're underrated games I've been playing over Christmas.
Okay.
The Japanese video games coming in 2017, and one which fucking isn't, dicks, yeah. Microsoft. The good and bad of
that out right at bedtime last night. That was not a good way to go to bed.
Well, imagine how I reacted, being that I'm a massive Platinum fan. It looked like the most awesome. I watched a trailer for that today and got super sad because that trailer looked awesome. The good and bad of the movies over the Christmas period and into the new year, because I've seen loads of them, including a Bollywood movie, which is bizarre. And if we have time, we'll talk about why VR is great. But I still don't think it'll catch on. So I've been won over. I've tried VR. Fuck it, we'll start with VR.
Okay, cool.
Completely fucking up the running order straight away. I finally caught up with you. I finally tried VR. In fairness, it's only Samsung Gear VR. Essentially, I got a Samsung...
You've got a fancy phone.
Yeah, I got the Samsung Galaxy Edge, the new one.
Oh, nice. It is very really nice. I really like those edges.
Yeah, the edges sold me, because I was like, I looked in, I said to the person, I was like, be honest with me, I was like, is this the same fucking phone as the S7? And like, yeah, basically, but it has that cool edge bit. And I'm like, so I'm paying more just for that edge bit. They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, give me the one with the edge bit. I just, well, no, it was like, I looked, because I had like a Galaxy S5, so it's like two phones ago.
Okay.
But at a glance, the S7 just looks the same. Mm-hmm. So you're paying this money, and you know, you wait for an upgrade because you've had the same phone for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, it just looks like the same phone. And then you see the edge, and I'm like, all right, that looks like a phone from the future. Give me the one from the future. Like, you know it's the same. I'm like, give me the fucking future phone, dude. And the future phone came with the Gear VR, which I was like, I didn't care about. But I was like, all right, it's free, whatever. I'll give it a go. Mm-hmm. And, oh my God, I was very pleasantly surprised. The two things that really got me were, one, the sense of scale is properly impressive. Because the one I played is like a free demo, and it's like face your fears. So in the first one, it's like a giant robot takes you up a building and you're kind of like standing on the ledge.
Okay.
And I was like, this was really effective. And this is, you know, with a basic VR. So obviously if you have like PlayStation VR or Oculus or whatever, you can lean over. And I assume that must be intense as fuck. But still, the sense of scale and the sense of being up in the air was like pretty intense. But the best, without question, were the horror demos I played.
Oh my god. That's the only real proper game I've played on VR, and that was with an old Oculus Rift set. Oh, well, that was awesome.
Well, I found it, like, I'm not easily scared by, like, movies. I watch a lot of horror films. I enjoy being scared, but I gotta be honest, like, most don't scare me.
Yeah.
I found this pretty intense, and it was all it was like, you're sitting in a bed, like in a kid's bed. That sounds dodgy, but it's just you. You're being the kid, obviously.
Right, yeah, sure.
And there's another little kid, this game was, but he's like a little ghost kid with like red eyes, and he just shows up. Like, you're just sitting there, so you're just looking around the room, and there's nothing, and then you hear a noise, and like, well, this is pretty intense. And then all of a sudden, he's just fucking sitting there in the corner, and he scuttles off, and all he does is show up every so often, and then of course at the end, he shows up at the side of the bed. And Bethan said she was watching me when I played this, and shit, I actively jumped.
Yeah.
It was so effective, and I have no doubt that there are much more effective examples of horror in VR.
It sounds like a VR version of that scene from Trainspotting when he's coming down.
Oh, yeah, with the baby.
Yeah, like, the baby on the roof.
Only this is like a kid with like red eyes who kind of jumps at you and stuff.
Yeah.
But there was that, and the other thing was, it was like a roller coaster, like, you know, simulator. And I gotta be honest, I was like grabbing the chair, like my stomach went when I was playing it. And I don't mean that in a bad way, like I was nauseous. I mean, it felt like I was on a roller coaster. It was so fucking weird.
That's very cool.
I'm sure you get used to it after a while.
Well,
but
that's part of what makes people nauseous. It's the inner ear is telling you, you know, you're going down, but your body's like, no, you're not.
But this seemed fine, though. I felt slightly nauseous, but in a good way, because I was like, well, if I was on a roller coaster, I'd feel slightly nauseous.
Uh-huh.
So this is normal. But like you said, I really enjoyed it. I get the appeal. I still don't think it'll fucking sell, though. I still don't think it'll be a success.
Is it the price point? Because that's the only thing that keeps me out.
No, it's still the fact that as much as I enjoyed it as I thought I would. Like, I would enjoy, like, a ride. Like, I like going on the little roller coaster thing. I like the little horror thing. At no point did I think, I tried Netflix and stuff like that, and it is pretty cool, the idea of being able to sit.
I do like the little chalet that you get to sit in.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, and I did try the actual cinema experience where you get to watch your movies, and it's like you're sitting in a cinema, and it looks good, and it does give you that sense of scale. It does actually feel like you're sitting in a big cinema.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I just don't want to sit here with this on my head all day.
And yeah.
As much as I enjoyed it, I've not gone back to it. And I just don't think I will, and it's made me, put it this way, it's made me, I really want to try PlayStation VR, I really want to try Oculus, but at no point has that made me think, I want to go out and buy it.
I think,
like, I'm not going to go out and drop
$400. You feel about VR the same way I feel about Nintendo consoles a lot of the time. Mm. It's like, I know that there will be killer apps,
yeah,
but there's nothing there yet. So that
it's that price to value comparison,
you know.
No, so, no, I get you. I'd like to have one. It'd be nice to have one just sitting around in my house, but I see what you mean completely. The only difference is, while I appreciate, say, you get a Nintendo console, maybe over the generation, maybe you only play like 2 games a year. But when I play those 2 games, I'll play the shit out of them.
Yeah.
The problem is with VR, I don't think I'll play anything for longer than like 15 minutes.
I don't know. Like, as much as I appreciate that, there are games like Elite Dangerous and stuff, and Project Cars that really do give you a very different experience with a VR headset.
I agree.
Absolutely. Like, I think the technology is definitely exciting, and I don't think it's going away the same way that VR has done in the past.
I don't think it'll go away. I don't see it going properly mainstream anytime soon.
Not until they can nail the price point to value ratio.
The price has got. I can't see people sitting there. I think some people will. And as I said, right, if the PlayStation VR was down to like £200 all in, like tomorrow, and I mean all in, like the fucking camera, the controllers, everything I need was like £200 in a bundle and it came with a game, I would be tempted, because every so often it'd be cool just to play a game, stick it on, but it will never become an integral part of my entertainment system. No. Like, for me, it'll never be, I'll use this instead of the TV. It won't. It'll be once in a blue moon, I'd put it on and play something. Like, I guess I see what you mean. Kind of like, you know, almost like you would approach a Nintendo console. I'm a bit more all in on Nintendo. But yeah, that's probably the perfect comparison for a lot of people. It's not, you know, you're still going to use your TV like 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then every so often you're like, oh, bang on the headset. But like you say, for like, what, realistically, you're talking all in. Even for the PlayStation VR, which is the cheapest, you're talking £450 before you're getting anywhere near.
Yeah, I mean,
it's £350 for me, the headset.
For me, having made the jump to PC, it's probably at least 4 times that.
Oh yeah, because you got to like absolutely
upgrade the PC.
Yeah, and Oculus.
And there's, I think a Vive is about £800.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
It is a very large amount. It's to the point where I know that I will never buy one at that price. Mm-hmm.
I'm almost got it in my head that the price of Vive and Oculus is almost not irrelevant, but that's always going to be for a hardcore crowd, because you need, as it stands, not only do you need to buy that, but you need an absolutely pimp PC. And the vast majority of people don't have the know-how or the willingness to spend the money on that kind of on that kind of rig.
Mm-hmm.
The one that'll get people, will get it in the door is something like the PlayStation VR, because they already have a PlayStation. Like, okay, if they can bring that price down to like 150, 200, and that's what I think is important. See, now that I've played it, I didn't have a problem with the resolution of the Gear VR, and I'm sure PlayStation VR is much better, and I'm sure Oculus and Vive are in a different league. But rather than thinking, all right, let's get the PlayStation VR 2 out with like better resolution, etc., I would just keep my mind on getting the price of that one down. Just keep with the one you've got and just get the fucking price down. Because if you release a new one, the old one falls by the wayside, and it's expensive again, and people aren't going to buy it. If you're going to get this in people's houses, forget about upgrading that anytime soon. This is on Sony's part now.
Yeah.
Just stick with what you've got and just fucking hammer it until you can get the price down. And then one day it'll be £150, and maybe you'll have a killer app. The problem is, I'm not sure. From what I've heard, a lot of developers aren't making money on this. And
it's like the Kinect all over again.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a big... Already, you look at 2017, where's the big, VR games? I haven't heard of any. In fairness, I've hardly got my fucking, ear to the ground on these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a saying, ear to the ground?
Yeah,
thanks. So I'm not, completely on top of this, but I can't think of anything where it's like, oh, that's the big VR game. I know Resident Evil has got like a VR mode, but where's the, the big VR game coming from? It's like, I don't know. I'm not convinced it's going to show up. And that's why I think, while I'm on board with VR, I like it, and if it comes down in price, I'll pick up the PlayStation VR. I don't think it's going to be a mainstream success at all. I really don't.
I think it might just be a stepping stone to something greater. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, maybe.
The games industry has always been iterative, so... And price point is a big factor in that. There is also the fact that, I think... there's something to do with how children, like, if your eyes are still developing, it's advised that you don't use VR, and that rules out a lot of kids' games, which is what the Kinect was trying to do in a lot of ways. So
it's tricky as well. Like you say, it's iterative, but if the first wave fails, it's hard to change people's opinion after that. If VR comes out and it doesn't make a splash with the mainstream, you can come out 2 years later and it's a better product and you can shout from the rooftops, but everyone's like, oh, well, VR's been out for years and no one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, there is an argument that, you know, it doesn't work until someone does it right, like touchscreens and stuff like that. So I'm not completely writing it off, but I am genuinely worried. I'm not worried because I don't give a shit, but I'm not convinced that VR is going to take off, despite my very positive, if somewhat brief, experience. Maybe if I try Vive, it'll blow my socks off, but regardless of how good it is, I mean, that's a whole different market. I mean, I almost want to talk about Nintendo because you brought up Nintendo, but we're not going to do that because we're going to try and do a Switch special.
Next week, if we can.
Because it's released on... Well, the announcement's on Friday.
It's not released. The announcement is on Friday.
Yeah, and I'll be announcing on the next podcast that I've already... Like, it doesn't even
pre-ordered,
matter what
you say.
Oh, I'm pre-ordering the shit out. Like, I will literally, before I see the videos, when I wake up on Friday, I will go... The first thing I'll do on my way to work is go onto Amazon, and if there's, like, a bundle to pre-order, I'm pre-ordering the shit out of it. Like,
yeah.
It's just a Nintendo console. It's just... guarantees.
I have heard rumors, and I know it is just rumors, and I know that Britain, well, Europe in general, tends to get screwed in terms of the price point.
Not as bad as Australia, but we get fucked.
Australia get it in a whole different category. But I've heard rumors of an around £200 price point.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez Louise, you feel like that's kind of what they've got to do, because the PlayStation and Xbox One, especially this Christmas, have absolutely plummeted. If you look at some of the bundles and stuff,
it's because they're trying to get rid of old stock.
It's not just that. I think this is the point when you get in the real casual gamers, and I've noticed it with some of the guys one of the guys in work literally just bought a PS4,
right?
And I had to tell him about, like, he'd never heard of Uncharted. He was like, oh, I got this bundle,
got it for FIFA.
He literally got it for FIFA. He's like, oh, it came with Uncharted, and I was like, I want a Grand Theft Auto Opus with Uncharted, I don't know what. I was like, dude, that game's amazing. I sent him the clip of the chase down the mountain and then you get dragged along, but like, I sent him that, he's like, holy shit, is that like the game? I was like, yeah, dude, you're gonna fucking love this game.
That's nice. That's got to be a nice feeling to. Like, I'd love to witness someone who is at their heart someone who enjoys games but has just never given it the time. Their last console was maybe a PlayStation 2 because everyone had one.
Yeah, well, he has consoles, but he only plays FIFA. But yeah, he looked, I can be honest, like, he looked genuine, quite excited after I showed him that video. I was like, looks like you might enjoy that. But it's got to that price point now where I just said, oh, why did you get it now? He's just like, well, it's just suddenly cheap enough. And my other mate, he got it for his kids now. And he was never interested before, but he's like, oh, for Christmas, it was like 200 quid. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it's at that biting point. And I think Nintendo needs to come out and match that, because if they come out and they're already more expensive than the Xbox and the PS4, it's going to be a fucking uphill battle no matter who they've got on board.
Yeah, the whole thing about having staggered releases like they have done with the Wii U, and obviously that came out way before everything else, and then it just kind of got forgotten. It'll be interesting to see how it stacks up with the way that the console industry seems to be going, instead of having... You know, the next Xbox, you've got like the Mark II, if you like. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see.
I mean, let's be honest. And again, I don't have the sales figures, but I get the impression that the PS4 Pro hasn't exactly flown off the fucking shelves. I don't feel like it's a thing, to be honest. Outside of like the super hardcore who have got like a new TV, I think most people couldn't give two tosses about the PS4 Pro. And I know I've been negative on the past, but I stand by my statement. I just don't think people give a shit. And even though I haven't got the figures, I noted that they released PlayStation figures over Christmas. Mm-hmm. And they were amazing. Like, another 5 million copies. Something outrageous like that.
It's Christmas for the toy company that, every kid and adult, or, many adults want.
But that's the thing. They said, like, oh, we sold, like, five... Say it was 5 million, something in that ballpark. Mm-hmm. They didn't mention the specific numbers of the Pro. And that can only mean one thing.
it means that they're not that impressive. You know what the deal is with these sales? Oh, dude, it totally means it. If they were selling well, they would fucking tell you.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, they tell you the good news. They're like, oh, we sold 5 million copies. You know, they tell you, oh, we've shipped 5 million copies. If they've sold all of their allocation, they don't say we shipped 7 million copies. Yeah. They tell you we sold them. It's always about managing the message. And the fact that they've gone, yeah, we've sold like 5 million copies and didn't mention the pro means the pro hasn't exactly lit the fucking world alight. Yeah. And I think it's because, again, that like outside of that hardcore are just going to go out and buy everything. I just don't think people care.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can totally get that. It's like, wait, so is this a new PlayStation? Well, yes and no. As soon as you've said not really, yeah, most people are just going to be like, yeah, okay,
and whatever. What do you do then to convince them?
What is 4K?
There's like, can I check out a video online? Well, yeah, but it just looks the same as a normal PlayStation. I thought it was better. Yeah, well, you've got to have
a screen.
And they're like, oh, it's 4K. It. Well, it's not actually 4K. It's not true 4K, but it's almost 4K. Yeah. Well, this sounds a bit bullshit. Yeah, I'm not going to bother. Scorpio, maybe if it has like a major jump, will be different. But I think that could fall into the same category as like the Elite controller. But
I still want an Elite controller. Like,
yeah, they do look nice, don't they?
So good.
Yeah, but I'm not going to pay 100 quid for a fucking controller. That's insane. We should really talk about Rogue One.
Yes.
At least briefly. We're going to try and keep this brief because I know everyone's talked about Rogue One at this point, but Jesus Christ, we haven't talked to each other since we've seen Rogue One.
Yeah, I think so, we were days away from seeing it the last time we recorded.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, simply, firstly, did you like it?
I did. I did like it.
All right, where does this rate in the Star Wars movies? Let's go straight down to brass tacks.
I have a really hard time rating it. I need to see it again, I think, to be honest with you.
I'm putting this just ahead of Force Awakens.
Ahead of it?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Force Awakens has got... Like, put it this way. Force Awakens has got better characters. The one thing Rogue One struggles with is that not all of its characters land. They're all a bit paper thin. Some of them are entertaining and they've got cool little lines and stuff.
Yes.
But they're all a bit paper thin.
That is largely my criticism as well, is that you don't get enough time with them to find out who they are. And, like... I guess we can't really do spoilers yet. It's still at the cinema.
Urso. I thought she was just.
Well, she gets the most time, but I don't feel like she really develops as a character.
I never attached to her like I did with Rey or anything like that.
Exactly, yeah. And I know they're anti-heroes. I know that's what they are.
That's not an excuse for like not having an attachment to them.
Yeah.
Han Solo was an anti-hero when he started out. Nobody came out of A New Hope like, oh, do you remember Han Solo? No, not really. I can't remember. Which one was he? The guy with the fucking, you know, you just, everyone remembers him.
Yeah, but Han Solo in a vacuum, I don't know how that would play.
I think he totally would. I think he jumps off the screen. I have no doubt that people came out of that film, and I don't think that's built up over time. I bet you kids walking out of the film like, I want to be Han Solo. This film, again, I like some of the characters, but they just felt a bit two-dimensional.
Yes.
But I thought it was a better film than Force Awakens. And
what about in terms of pacing?
I liked the pacing. The second act started to lose a little bit of pace. And I was like, oh, dude. All of a sudden I was where I was watching a movie. I'd been taken out of it. And then the fucking last 45 minutes happened and I could just totally fucking forgot. Because while the last 45 minutes of The Force Awakens is when it slowly, but not totally lost me, because I really like The Force Awakens, mm-hmm. but I've mentioned before my problems with this fucking Starkiller base and the issues with Rey and stuff like that, and it was just too much of a retread.
Yeah.
The last 45 minutes of this film are absolutely I as good as anything I've seen in quite some time. I really thought so.
They are.
Including that scene with Darth Vader. Oh. That scene is fucking...
To be honest, that's probably even too much. We shouldn't really say anything else. But
Darth Vader does something really cool. Okay, I'm not going to say anything else. He just does something really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. All right, wait, spoiler tech. Right, literally, forwards, 2 minutes. I'm just going to talk about this super quickly. Okay, here we go. I'm going to talk about it now, right?
Okay.
Darth Vader, what I loved is that film feels like a war movie, yeah?
Yeah.
That scene at the end reminded me, it was almost painting Darth Vader as a force of nature. You know, those old war films when they're in a sub and it's fucking leaking and the water's coming up and they're all trying to get out but the door won't open.
Dude.
It just reminded me of that. It's, only instead of water, it was Darth Vader.
It's something I've been wanting to bring up on the podcast, but we've had a lot to talk about because it's game season. But I've started reading Kieran Gillen's Darth Vader comic book.
Okay.
It is incredible.
Really?
It shows you Vader at his, like, most badass.
Yeah.
He, so
well, that was easily the most badass we've ever seen him.
It's before he's conflicted, and it's after he's learned a lot, and he is a force of nature. Like, he brings ships down with the Force. He just cuts through entire armies. He's relentless.
Well, that was the great thing about this, was that, as you say, it was like they were playing him back as the bad guy again. I mean, when they show up and he's on Mustafar, his base is literally like
in a volcano. Yeah, he's like a Bond villain. It's brilliant.
That's amazing. And then, as I said, that scene, the bit when he lifts the dude up into the ceiling, I was like, fuck, this is badass. And that last dude, just as he's passing through the door and the lightsaber comes through the door. Yeah. Oh, I love the way that film ended.
Well, for the most part, the CGI Carrie Fisher was a bit weird. Yeah. But
We'll talk about this very quickly. What did you think of Grand Moff Tarkin being involved so prominently?
I think he could have been involved as prominently, but I don't think they had to show as much of him as they did. I think he could have been sinister, like he could have been a hologram. Oh, that's us at 2 minutes. But I think they could have done a lot more with suggestion.
Yeah. I thought they were going to do that because the first scene is a reflection.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought as well.
And I thought they were going to go with that. But the weird two things. One, I asked my wife as we were leaving out. I was like, "Oh, that was, what did you think of Grand Moff Tarkin?" She goes, "Oh, he's pretty good." I was like, "No, you know, like the CG." She goes, "Oh, what do you mean?" I was like, "You didn't realize he was a CG character." She goes, "Oh no, I didn't even notice."
That's Peter Cushing. Like, I know he's always looked like that, but come on.
Yeah, but she just didn't realise it was Peter. Like, she's not as big into movies and stuff as me. Yeah. And it just didn't dawn on her that it was Peter Cushing. Like, you know, I think she's just like, oh, it's just another actor or something.
And Carrie Fisher had a really good facelift.
Yeah, well, obviously she noticed. Ah, oh, dude, you can't do Carrie Fisher jokes, just dive, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But, yeah, she didn't notice. But the thing, I'm conflicted because while they still, like, it's the closest they've ever come to replicating a human in total CG. However, it's still not right, especially with the lip movement. It's still not 100%. But some of the scenes, the performance was amazing. The guy doing the voice and the actual performance was some of my favourites. Like, one of my favourite scenes.
That's us at 3 minutes now. I'll just let you know.
Oh, okay. Well, one of my favourite scenes, and again, this is no more spoiler stuff, but one of my favourite scenes is just when he's having a discussion with Ben Mendelsohn as, what's his name? Oh, fuck. What's the character's name? Director
Rennick.
Director Krennic.
Krennic.
Yeah. Director Krennic, I think it is.
Something like that.
Anyway, Director Krennic, we'll call him that. When they're having scenes together, it's like really tense, and I love those scenes, and I totally forgot about the CG at those points. And a big reason that worked is because the guy who plays him actually played young Sherlock Holmes on the screen, and when he did it, he was trying to convey, he was basically playing a younger version of Peter Cushing.
Right, okay.
So he was trying to convey him as a younger person. So he was used to kind of not doing an impression, but trying to get a sense of him as a character. And then whatever you say about the CG, I think what's been lost is just how fucking good he is. Like, not at a single point did I ever think that didn't sound exactly like him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought, like, if someone had told me Peter Cushing was still alive, but he wasn't well enough to perform it, but he did the voice work, I'd be like, yeah.
If you closed your eyes, you didn't see anyone else.
Oh yeah, totally. If that was an audio play, I'd be like, that's fucking absolutely perfect. But Rogue One, so you weren't as big on it as you prefer Force Awakens?
I need to see it again.
I saw it a second time, that made a difference.
I need to see it again because, much like Force Awakens, I think I will enjoy it more the second time around.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I enjoyed The Force Awakens. Right, put this way. The best stuff in The Force Awakens, I think I prefer. There's nothing as good in Rogue One as there is in Force Awakens, but there's nothing as bad in Rogue One as there is in Force Awakens, if that makes sense.
Right, okay.
Like, the highs are higher, but the lows are lower. Whereas I'd say this is a consistently better film, and some of the shots, like I said, beyond the final battle, which just is phenomenal, some of the shots are as glorious as anything I've seen in in the whole saga.
Oh yeah,
like some of those shots of the star of the Death Star. Especially, it seems weird, but how effective was it just to see the Death Star from a different angle?
Yeah, seeing it being assembled, that was very cool.
Or even when, you know, like, it rose up over the planet, but of course it's shooting down instead of just into space.
Yeah.
So it was, I guess the big panel, the shooty gun bit, is actually pointing down. It was just odd to see it like that. But there's one shot when it comes up over the horizon, which is gorgeous, and the scenes when shit is being blown up. I don't think I've ever seen anything blown up so beautifully on screen in my life.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. They really are where it's at when it comes to special effects. They always have been.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous film to watch.
Yeah, it's just strange. Like that's still the Holy Grail. They still haven't quite got there. I mean, even compared to a few, you think about Jeff Bridges in Tron Legacy, how shit Kluge looked, or whatever his name is. Like, it's notably a step up from that, but they still can't do it. They still can't convince you that you're looking at a real human. They still haven't got it yet. So Rogue One, both liked it, one slightly more than the other. As I said, I would probably put it, it's very close, because I still think the first three are the top three. I still think it's Empire, Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, close between those two. And then I've got three which are all close together: Episode 3, Rogue One, and Force Awakens. And then obviously Episode 1,
a big jump to two.
Oh, two's the worst. But those three, like, I like bits of all of them. And as I said, like, I think, oh yeah, I prefer to Force Awakens. And then I'll watch Force Awakens, and then Kylo Ren will be on screen. I'll be like, oh, but I fucking love Kylo Ren. So I could be swayed. So maybe we'll come back to this in a few weeks once you've watched it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I do see plan on DVD or something, or we've got time to kind of take it in.
Well, I mean, it's only £6 to go and see it at the cinema in Perth.
Yeah, cool.
So I might take an opportunity to go and see that. There's a few other films I want to see, like Silence.
I want to see that next week. I have to see it soon, because I don't think that's going to be out in the cinema for very long, because as good as the reviews have been, it's not an easy sell. I don't think it's going to do massive numbers at the box office.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those kind of this week or never. But to briefly bring it back to Star Wars, I think we should do another Star Wars special sometimes pretty soon, where we can
Fourth is a little while away, but it's not too far away.
No, maybe that would be the right time, because we can go back and kind of, you know, away from all the excitement, the fact that we've just seen it quite recently, and just be like, all right, where does this really fit into the whole Star Wars lecture? And by then, you never know, we may have seen a teaser trailer for Episode 8 by then.
And I've been watching Rebels as well, which is a little bit embarrassing on the train to see other people.
I really want to see that.
What?
I watched the first episode of Rebels. I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, it's all right. It's not too bad.
No, I think, and I saw a teaser trailer for Episode 3, and it's like, oh, it's got all these cool characters in. I was like, fuck, I don't care if it's for kids. I want to see this.
Yeah.
All right, before we go, we're going to talk about video games, Japanese video games in 2017. But basically, all it was Scalebound being cancelled. Totally sucks.
Yeah. I knew that would hit you harder than it hit me, because it's a platinum game.
Yeah, it's a platinum game, and it was a big budget platinum game by Hideki Kamiya. Is that his name? Have I messed that up?
Hideki Kamiya, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and it's just like, dude, I went back to that initial trailer when he's just with his dragon and they're just fucking up foot soldiers, and he's like pointing at things in the scenery and telling his dragon to just basically sick balls. And I was just like, oh my god, this looks amazing, and we're never going to play it. All I can hope is that, because it's so many years along, maybe, I tell you what would be a smart move, Sony pick it up. Unless they've signed over the rights, if Platinum still have full control, fuck, that would be a big coup, I think, for Sony.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I could see, if there wasn't the probability of some legal issue there, because I could imagine Microsoft poisoning the well on that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, if Microsoft has got anything to do with the name, then that game's fucked.
They'll have taken a large part of the source code and just be like, no, it's going in the safe.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen. I don't think it's going to be a source code, or I don't think it's going to be them trying to screw over Platinum. I just don't think it's their style nowadays.
The best thing we can hope for,
I think it's more to do with a legal situation with the name and the rights. Yeah. That's going to be the problem.
Best thing we can hope for is for Platinum, instead of laying off that entire team, I don't know if they have or not, instead of them laying off the team, they pivot and they do something with what they've got. That would be ideal. But
well,
I guess it works out.
I'm just a little worried about, I just don't want Platinum to suddenly disappear, because they just haven't had that big hit yet. And as much as I'd love it to be, it won't be. But their next game, and their only game I think they've got lined up, is Nier Automata. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a sequel nobody was expecting, because it's a sequel to a pretty obscure Japanese RPG.
That's the one when the developer came out with that moon mask on, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was all pretty weird. Mm-hmm. And I played the original game, and it didn't quite click for me.
Okay.
I loved the art design, and I loved the music. But the gameplay didn't really click. And I was like, oh, you know, there was a demo on PlayStation 4 for the new one. I was like, it's Platinum, so I've got to give it a go. Dude, that game is fucking amazing. The combat is pure Platinum, but it's combining kind of third-person combat with almost like a bullet hell shooter. Like, the way you can shoot and have to dodge bullets, it's got that kind of Japanese bullet hell style, which, and I love those as well.
Yeah.
I still love the visual style. The music is even better. And the story is still mint, of course, but I played that game, I'm like, this has gone like right to the top of my most wanted list. Funny wow. enough, it went alongside Scalebound, but I won't be playing that.
Yeah.
It still has that slightly budget last-gen look, but that doesn't bother me at all. The gameplay is amazing. And that, along with Neo, it's spelled N-I-O-H, I've mentioned it before.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually coming out next month. It's a PlayStation 4 exclusive, and it's basically Team Ninja doing Dark Souls. Those two games, because I went back and played that again over Christmas. I was like, just the demo again. I was like, I can't wait to play these two games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so good to see Japanese games coming out, which I'm really looking forward to, because you just don't get as many as I'd like. Like, you know, you get obscure yeah. RPGs and stuff like that, but like action games, like my kind of Japanese games, like, oh yeah, totally looking forward to those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've rattled on enough there. What did you want to mention? What you've played, or the movies that you've been to see or want to see?
Let's do what we've played, because I have okay. actually been playing stuff, whereas I haven't seen that many movies, or at least right. very few new movies.
All right, cool, go for it, man.
So it's actually been a big bumper Christmas for me this year, in terms of games. I think having Christmas run in line with a Steam Winter Sale
is
just genius.
So what do you own now, like 7,000 games?
That's
what I hear from Steam users. They own like all the games ever.
I think
I just don't have the time to play it.
I think I'm at around 130.
That's a lot of games.
It's not bad.
I say that. I reckon if I check my PlayStation.
Oh, library, but you have definitely played more games than I have.
I play a lot of games.
Between reviewing stuff and you know, I've seen your collection.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous, especially my digital collection. But anyway, sorry, that's why I can't go near Steam. Too dangerous, too dangerous.
So first of all, quite a short game. I got Super Hot. I don't know, I think that has come to console.
Yeah, that's on consoles. I was thinking about picking it up, but you almost put me off by saying you like some of it, but not all of it.
Yeah, so the actual gameplay itself is really cool. It's a puzzle game it's a puzzle game more than it's a shooter. I don't know if you're aware of the central premise for it.
Yeah, you can only move when you're shooting or something, or when
basically
you're in the air or some shit.
Time only moves when you move.
Okay, yeah.
So and that's generally the case. Like, it does move very slowly if you're not moving, and that just means that you can't pause to figure out what your next move is.
You always stay put for so long.
Yeah, you always feel a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
So it often you just find yourself pulling off these amazing moves because you've had to do it like 10 times to get the timing just right to get a guy to shoot his mate in the back while he tries to shoot at you.
That sounds pretty sweet.
It is.
And the videos I've seen look awesome.
It is. It's really cool. It's very stylized. It's made by a little independent Polish studio.
Poland, man. They're doing the business nowadays.
Yeah. But on the other hand, in between the actual gameplay levels, there's this kind of meta layer about like surveillance. And it's a little bit 1984.
Yeah.
But the game isn't quite clever enough to pull it off.
So you like the mechanics, but it tries to do a little bit more than it should.
Yeah, it does. And it just it kind of breaks the flow of the game, I think. It's because I found it really contrived, and I didn't really enjoy it very much.
Yeah, it's always the same as well with video games. Like, you can have a great video game, especially one with great mechanics, and I always find it such a shame when one thing, or especially something like that, which again is like a design choice where it's such an easy fix.
It's basically like the story. It looks like they wanted a story and they thought, we can't make anything fit with this gameplay, let's just do a meta story.
Yeah, and it's like, was it needed? And obviously, I assume based on your response, the answer is no.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Well, similar, like, I had a problem with, I played ReCore over Christmas, and I loved ReCore. Parts of it anyway. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
Okay.
I mean, you know, again, it's a relative, I say an old game, it's a few months old, but it's made by Keiji Inafune and his team, and a lot of the people who used to work on Metroid Prime. And it literally feels like a cross between Mega Man and Metroid Prime. It's a lot more open than I thought it was. Like, it is open world, largely.
All right.
And the mechanics are great. The shooting mechanics feel fantastic. I love the platforming. But it's just silly design choices just get in the way. Like, you can't keep all your robot dogs or robot pets with you at the same time. So you have to go back and forth to your base. And when you do, you have to deal with these long-ass load times. And when you're trying to collect towards... Because I played, like, 80% of the game. And I was getting towards the finish line, but to unlock the last bit, you've got to collect loads of cores. And to collect them, you've got to use certain robots at certain sections. And of course, I find a section, I can see what the core is, and all I need is a specific robot. Mm-hmm. And of course, you don't have them all with you. So I've got to go back to the base to change robots. That means going through a long-ass loading screen, getting the robot, going back, another long-ass loading screen, and then doing that, and then... It was just like, I hit a wall, I was just like, I can't be fucked doing this.
That just seems like such a strange design.
Exactly. That's what made it more infuriating. There are technical glitches with the game. It's not polished to perfection. But it was all stuff I could put up with. And as I said, I really enjoyed it. I put in like 8 hours. And I was fixing to finish this game. And I just hit this roadblock. And I was like, I don't care about the story. I was like, why bother grinding my way over the finish line?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to become better at that. Like, whether it be books, TV shows, movies, whatever.
Finishing.
If I'm not enjoying it, just call it a day.
Right, okay. I struggle with that as well, especially with books.
I find it with books and video games. Like, if I start a book, I feel, like, compelled to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with video games. And I'm just like, if I'm not enjoying it... Don't fucking bother.
Sometimes a game or a book hasn't earned it, and that's not it's not any fault of the author or the team that made it. It's just
or it could be a personal thing, like you say, like one thing about a game, like it annoys me, and it was just like I enjoyed the game for like 10 hours, 8 to 10 hours. So I've got a good shift out of it, and I knew what the rest of the game was going to be. I was like, okay, I've got to get through these, and then I get to go to the tower.
Yeah,
and I'd unlock like 3-4 out of the 5 levels of the tower. So I was really near the end, but I was just like, I'm going to have to grind my way to the end of this. I was like, why ruin it? I was like, I enjoyed what I've played of it. I know I'm not going to enjoy it if I have to start grinding and going back and forth. It was a poor design choice. I'm just going to call it a day. So I just did. And I feel like a better man for it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Speaking of grinding your way to the finish, I played and finished Limbo.
Unfinished Limbo.
Yeah, I finished it. I mean, it only took me a few hours.
I thought you called it Unfinished Limbo.
Oh, no.
What is Unfinished? Is that like a different version of the game? Oh, so
yeah, it was just the demo.
Didn't finish Limbo.
Yeah. I mean, top marks for aesthetic and sticking to your design choice.
Yeah,
but I just
like mental.
I don't get why people kiss its ass so much.
It's a great game.
It's a good-looking game. It's atmospheric. Game.
The puzzles are great. The aesthetic is so unique. I mean, again, we spoke about this briefly offline. Maybe it's not as unique now as it was six, 7 years ago.
I played Ron Gilbert's The Cave, and it was the same, but with a very morbid sense of humour, and that made me enjoy it a lot more.
I love the morbidity in the...
Have you played The Cave? I don't know.
No, I downloaded it. It was for free on Xbox Live.
If you like Limbo, I would really recommend The Cave.
I'm going to give it a go. It's
Ron Gilbert, so it's got a really good sense of humor.
You'd expect that, I suppose. At the very least, when you.
It's very. It's kind of Addams Family esque, I guess you could say. Yeah.
But you prefer that to Limbo?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're not going to play Inside then? You probably shouldn't if you didn't enjoy Limbo.
It's not I didn't enjoy it. It was just like...
I mean, if you didn't finish it, I mean, it's not a long game. I loved Limbo.
No, I did finish it.
Maybe it's just that style of game, because as you said before, you didn't enjoy Braid as much as a lot of people, did you?
No, not really.
I loved Braid.
I think it's like largely at that time I found out who Jonathan Blow is, and he just seems really obnoxious. But then I do want to play The Witness.
He's a genius, though. The Witness is really good. I'm not, again, because don't get me wrong, it's as good in its own way as Braid. Maybe even better, but it's not my kind of game in the same way. As brilliant as it is, Braid's more my style of game. I love the time travel mechanic. I love the aesthetic. I love, again, another game with fantastic music. But yeah, Limbo as well. I really like that. I'm just not convinced if you weren't first on Limbo, maybe... I'd still say give Inside a go because it's such a great game.
Maybe wait. If it comes to... like, I got Limbo for like £3, so that that was why I picked it up. And I feel that was fair. Inside. I got £3 worth of enjoyment out of it. Let's put it that way.
That's fair enough. Well, that's reasonable enough. I mean, I didn't finish... I started playing Everyone Has Gone to the Rapture over Christmas, but I didn't finish it for a completely different reason. I was playing it, and I stepped away. I've been playing it for like 2.5 hours, and I stepped away, and my PlayStation 4 has got a stupid power saving feature turned on, and I keep telling myself I'm going to change it, but I always forget, and it turns off, and it just didn't auto save for ages, so I lost like an hour, and when you've lost like an hour of like, what is it, like a 4 hour game max, I just like, that's it for me. I was like, I'm not going to replay that hour, as much as I enjoyed it. It's not like, because it's not like kinetic action-packed gameplay, which is not a problem, it's just walking and listening to things, but I'm like, I've got to spend an hour now walking and listening to the same
things.
Yeah,
I mean, if you've read a mystery novel and then turn around and read it right after, it's not as enjoyable. So
yeah, if someone's like, oh, you've got to read, to finish this book, you've got to reread the last 100 pages, you'd be like, go fuck yourself, I'm not doing that. And that's what happened here. It was like other games, like if I lost like an hour of, I don't know, Call of Duty, or even something like Limbo even, which is, you know, if I could just fly through the puzzles, this is literally just walking and listening to things. And as I said, for that one time experience, it was great, but I was just like, I'm not doing that. So I just read up on the rest of the story and deleted it. That was the end of it, which kind of sucked, but hey, what was I going to mention? Oh, one last game I was going to mention that I played... Steep. I just want to mention it because I think more people should try it out.
Yeah,
it was released with zero fanfare. The beta obviously did it no favors because I think it got pretty bad reviews.
After I also know that someone died in the making of it.
Dude, that sucks. It's not that fucking good. but it is a good game. It's got structural problems. When anyone talks, I want to punch myself in the face.
Are they exactly what you mentally picture when you think of snowboarders?
Yeah, but they only talk really once in a blue moon. It's really rare. I think there is a talk button where you press A and they're like, oh, dude, this is living, bro.
Because like, I'm just thinking of the guy, like, basically your group in Far Cry 3. Mm-hmm. That's basically what I picture when I think of the people who can afford to go away snowboarding at least twice a year.
Yeah.
And never mind people who do it for a living.
Dude, this fucking rules. I didn't swear, but you get the impression. So whenever anyone's talking, it's lame, but nobody talks much, so that's fine. But mechanically and technically in particular, this game is fucking awesome. Because you can just, once it's loaded, you can see the whole mountain, which looks gorgeous. You can zoom in on any point, and if there's another player, like an online player, in the world at the same time as you, you can just fucking zoom right in on them and just watch their run. It's insane.
Oh, cool.
And then you can just jump to any like number of points on the map and you can go straight to snowboarding. There's no loading.
Does it tell you when you're being watched? Like, can you get performance anxiety?
No. You don't really go out your way to watch people. It's just something that technically is impressive.
Okay.
You're just aware of other people who are on in your world at the same
time.
That's
definitely very cool.
You can join in with them. I don't bother
Similar
with
to like a Drivatar almost, except it's live.
Yeah. Well, it's like, what was the other game? Ubisoft? Oh, like...
The Crew?
The Crew, yeah. You could zoom in on that and you could just watch people fucking drive. It was insane. Technically impressive, useless for the most part, but it looks amazing, this game. And the fact that you can just skip between like wingsuit and snowboarding just the press of a button, and as I said, there's no loading... It's just super fun, and it's not perfect. Some people have an issue with the trick system. I think it's quite simplistic and fun, and I can just keep my mind more on just kind of the aspect of actually snowboarding.
Going downhill. How are the environments? Are they like? Is there a sense of exploration?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. It's one of the few games when you can just put away your snowboard. Like, if you overshoot something,
yeah.
you can jump back, of course, and it's immediate retries, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But you can just get on foot and just crawl up the mountain. And there are, like, spots all around where it's got, like, binoculars, and you've got to get close enough that you can, like, view them through your binoculars, and then it unlocks additional challenges.
Oh, cool.
So there is, like, a bit of exploration. And as I said, it's not a perfect game. There's a few technical issues here and there, a few rough edges, but it's one of the best... like extreme sports games I've played in years.
Cool.
Probably easily the best in skate.
There aren't many.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, if you've been put off by the recent Tony Hawk and shit like that, or the complete lack of snowboarding, mm-hmm. I mean, I'd take this over the most recent SSX, the 360 one, any day of the week. Like, this is the most fun I've had with a snowboarding game since Amp 3 on the 360. So, yeah, it's one of those games. Like, it's going to be dirt cheap soon because nobody fucking bought it, and Ubisoft just obviously didn't care.
Yeah.
So if you can pick this up for like 15, 20 quid, I think it's well worth a punt.
I wouldn't mind giving it a shot. We'll see. We'll see.
Worth a go. Anything else before we
bail? I only say we've got to bail
because my wife is waiting for me to eat. Not she wants to eat me. Like, we're going to have dinner together. That sounds more normal. Yes, there we go.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about the movies, but we'll save that for next week. I mean, I've seen a whole bunch, but you said you haven't seen too many recently, have you?
Yeah, nothing really new. Mostly been TV that I've been watching, to be honest.
Okay. I take you haven't seen a Bollywood movie, Dangal?
I have not, no.
Well, I have, but I won't go into that now. We can save that for next week. That'll be a treat. Something we can all look forward to. A brief look into, you know, Hollywood, Bollywood, sorry. The second largest, you know... film industry in the world, and which nobody in the West really watches at all. It's quite bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Quite bizarre. But anyway, there are movies. I've watched them. They've been good. We'll talk about them next week, along with, obviously, the Nintendo Switch. Very much looking forward to that. Well, I am anyway. I don't think Ross gives a fuck.
I'm definitely looking forward to. But
you're not, we'll see. You haven't got that, like... I guess just the difference is, like, I'm already sold, whereas... I guess it's more interesting for you, because... You're genuinely like, this could go either way.
Yeah, it absolutely could. My wife has pinched, well, I say pinched. I basically gave her my 3DS, and mm-hmm. she has fallen back in love with Ocarina of Time.
That's a great game.
So, you know, if it turns out that I can play things on the go and also plug them in, and my wife can enjoy it as well.
Happy then, days.
Yeah, maybe. To be honest, all I'm hoping for is an ultimate edition of Mario Kart 8. That yeah. will be a significant swing for me if
that. Well, that's definitely coming. Yeah. Almost certainly, anyway. It's quite interesting because I'm not interested so much in. I don't really play games on the go very often. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, when I go on holiday, I'll get into a
you
game.
You used to play Pokemon on the bus, didn't you?
Yeah, occasionally, and it's weird because I own so many 3DS games. It's insane because there are so many great 3DS games, mm-hmm. but then I so rarely play them because I just don't like. Even something that I loved, like A Link Between Worlds,
mm-hmm.
I absolutely adored that game. It took me ages to finish, just because it was handheld. If that had been on a console, I would have finished it months earlier.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not so interested in the actual handheld capacity of the Switch. I just want to play Nintendo games. And if it's a new Nintendo console, one that they're hopefully going to support wholeheartedly, especially... I guess the biggest something is because if it replaces the 3DS, it means all the handheld games as well, all that development would just be aimed at the Switch. And it means I get to play all the games on the big screen, if you see what I mean.
Like, yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah, the 3DS, I own it because there are great games. I'd prefer if they were all on console, because that's where I like to play games.
I just mentally picture that tablet is going to replace the magazine in the bathroom. Be like, oh yeah. I can just go and play games in the toilet now. This is
That'd
good.
That'd be pretty sweet. It's bad enough with the phone in the pocket. I mean, I remember when taking a poo used to take like 2 minutes. I go into the toilet now. I don't come out for like 30 fucking minutes. Bethan's like, are you okay?
You actually sound like an old man. And old men have been making this complaint for a long time. Take it from someone who was a nurse. Where I remember when I used to be in and out of the toilet. Now I'm in there for hours.
This has nothing to do with the fact that I'm, you know, soon to turn 35. Medically, I'm as fit as a fiddle. I mean, I am regular.
No.
The point is...
Oh God. I didn't think the end could be any worse than the start of the show.
Oh, well, we like to end and finish strong, so it's fine. But yeah, it's just... You know what it's like? You sit on the toilet, you get your phone out, and you just start browsing Facebook or whatever. Mm-hmm. I assume everyone does this. Everyone, basically, if someone likes
something on your Facebook page, they're liking it from the toilet. 95% of the time, I reckon. That's where 95% of the time spent on Facebook, I think, is on the toilet.
And
it has to be.
And 85% of YouTube comments are also made from constipated people who are really frustrated.
Absolutely. All those horrible, homophobic, racist comments are, say, you take the 95% of people on the toilet, like 35% of them are constipated, they can't get it, you know, they can't finish up on the toilet, so they're like, I've got to say something mean to someone, and they say something homophobic.
So, I like homophobic. That. So music know, played by homeless people.
The important thing is a better diet, because if people have a better diet, that they're going to be more regular on the toilet, they'll say less mean things on YouTube, and the world will be a better place. So not only... Okay, I'm going to stop there.
I look forward to seeing that in the new advert for the Switch.
Yeah, yeah. Just helping the world. Just a really long-winded explanation about how the Switch
it's
is
just a way more realistic like version of people than the ones that were appearing in the original advert.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. If you rather than people like going to parties, it's just people just taking a poo, playing the Switch. That'd be fucking amazing. Well, we like to end most of our podcasts on poo, and I'm not going to change things going into 2017. So
hopefully, people won't say it was poo the whole way through.
Oh no, dude, this is fucking killer. Our podcast is the best.
Just bookended by swearing and poop.
Yeah, so if you are listening to it, for fuck's sake, share it with someone, tell someone, do something. God damn it, man. How much swearing and poo talk? You don't get this on an average podcast. Yeah, so we'll be back soon talking about the Switch, talking about movies, probably not talking about poo as much. I certainly won't open with just a tirade of curse words. But Ross, have you got anything going on this week, or are we just going to save it all for the next episode?
Let's save it for the next episode. I am excited to see what Nintendo come out with. And
well, as is tradition, everybody, you know, the next episode's 69, so we want to make that a strong one.
We should save it for Valentine's Day, but never mind.
Well, episode 69, yeah. Dude, you don't do that on Valentine's Day. I mean, that's like drunk. This game was alright. Thank you so much. Please check us out. We're on Facebook, obviously check out the website brashgames.co.uk. We're on iTunes. You can also check out my singular just me on my own podcast. That's Brash Games is Going Solo podcast. This is still the better one because obviously Ross is involved.
You can find me at my blog at rogster.co.uk.
So yeah, check out the blog as well, subscribe to our podcast, share it, like it, do whatever you want, or don't do it. I'm just glad you're listening at this point if you've managed it to get to the fucking end. But yeah, as always, thanks for listening, and we'll hopefully, we'll definitely speak to you next week about the Nintendo Switch. Yeah. Thank you, bye!
Bye!